This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Jesus, how we underestimate your compassion. We're too easily convinced that you frown more than you smile, that our weakness and ignorance, our mistakes and sins, guarantee nothing but judgment from you. Yet time and again you show us that this picture is unworthy of you. After all, you said it. You didn't come to judge, but to save. So we thank you and celebrate you. Your compassion is limitless, your love is unfailing, your welcome is gracious and extravagant and all-inclusive. Your embrace is healing and transforming. Your commitment to us is costly and eternal. Perhaps we will never really understand how you can be so totally for us, but perhaps as we learn to trust, to lean into your love, we will find the peace and wholeness that you desire for us. So we come. We worship you as our King. We open ourselves to your surprising compassion once again. Amen. Good morning. We celebrate this, the last Sunday of our church year, sometimes referred to as Christ the King Sunday. I don't know if the story is true because I wasn't there, but back when I was in St. Louis, the home of Anheuser-Busch, the neighboring parish to ours, the priest had to walk down the aisle at some point during the service, and he needed some musical accompaniment to go with it, and so he told the organist, just play something while I walk. And the organist said, well, what do you want me to play? And said, well, listen to the gospel, and it's Christ the King Sunday, so play something appropriate. So the organist listened. Now, he happened to be the substitute organist for the ballpark. So as the priest starts walking, he starts playing the Budweiser song, Here Comes the King. Bump, 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 bump. The place was up for grabs. Christ the King. He certainly had it right about giving people thirsty something to drink, but didn't exactly capture what the essence of the gospel was. I have a book of parables of things that are told, stories told by Jewish rabbis that make a point, and there is one that brings the point home of this gospel very well. It is told of a very astute rabbi who dies and makes his way towards heaven. He gets to heaven and he wants to plead his case to get in, and he tells the angel there, I have been faithful to my synagogue. I have read the Torah endlessly all of my life. And the angel responds, wait. We need to have an investigation to see if you did this just as a matter of profession, or if you did it for the right reasons. Next comes another righteous person who says, not only did I read the Torah day and night, but I also read the mystical commentary on it. And the angel says, wait, we will have an investigation to see if you did it to impress people or if you did it for the right reasons. The third person comes up who happens to be a tavern keeper. In pleading his case, he says, whenever a poor person came into my inn, I made sure that they left with a full stomach, having fed them and given them a bed to sleep for the night. And with that, the angel opens the doors and without investigation invites the tavern keeper in. Simple story, simple message, simple gospel. Today. These past weeks, we have been hearing about what is necessary for us for the kingdom of heaven. four stories back, we had the story of the faithful and the unfaithful servant. The point being, when Jesus comes, we are to be working. We are to be doing that which we are called to do. Three stories ago, we had the story of the wise and the foolish virgins, telling us to have your oil in your lamp ready. Be prepared for the coming of Christ our bridegroom. Last week, we heard the story of the talents, that we have been gifted with so much not to hang on to it, but to invest it in the way we use our gifts so that there is a twofold, fivefold, tenfold return on what God has invested in us. And now, this week, he gets even more practical. Feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Someone's lowly, sick, or in prison, visit them. It's not rocket science. Now, if you've ever been in school, as we all have, some of us still are, what is the ultimate question we always ask? Will this be on the final exam? We are given the final exam today. And it's not difficult. What Jesus does for us today is spell it out in clear terms. That which we are to do for others. A couple other points I want to make with this gospel. Notice when he lets those sheep enter into the eternal kingdom, he says, receive what was created for you from the foundation of the world. He does not say this when he is talking to those who are being condemned. Why? Because it has always been for all eternity God's plan. It has always been Jesus' plan as well for us to inherit the kingdom. As I said in the prayer, Jesus came to save us. He wants us to receive the richness of God's blessing. The only reason that hell exists, as a wise person once said, is for the convenience of those that to their dying breath do not want to love God. Jesus wants us to receive the blessings of eternal life. Another point. This gospel makes it very clear to us that we are to love all people. When we renew the vows of our baptism, we are always asked to respect the dignity of every human being. It is spelled out very clear here in our final exam. Those who are different from us, those whom the world might despise, we are called to love. And thirdly, we are being judged more on what we're supposed to do as opposed to the wrong things that we do here. It's very clear what he tells us we are to do. And we are told this because we have a God who loves us. The best way, in terms of illustration, I can say this, is if you are a parent, you are probably going through or have gone through what all parents do. You love your children unconditionally. You love your children completely. You love your children without limit. And out of that love, you ask your children questions on a daily basis. Did you clean your room? Did you take out the garbage? Did you finish your homework? Basically, did you do the things that you're supposed to do? This is a God who loves us and is asking us those questions out of love as a reminder. As not just a hint, but putting out the final exam right there. This is what you need to do. And when we are able to be that and to do that, then we really do make a difference, not only to this community, but to the entire universe. We're about to enter into this Advent Christmas cycle. Did it ever occur to you that just perhaps one of the reasons God chose to send his son into the world as he did, as an insignificant, as a disenfranchised, poor, lowly, unrespected human being, was to give us another hint that when we encounter such, the disenfranchised, the lowly, the poor, maybe we'd have just a little bit more of a clue that in them is the face of Jesus Christ. May we continue to be that face. May we continue to see that face in all God's people. Let us take that to prayer.